Welcome to Vespers, everyone. My name is Scott Kirshner. I'm the village pastor here at Holden. And we're going to be using the red hymnal and two small sheets of paper. Those are available by the entrance there. And if you didn't get any of those, they are available for you there. Throughout the summer, our Monday's Vespers are what we're calling theme Vespers, engaging our summer theme. And so you hear that as a theme for tonight's Vespers. I invite you to turn to page 309 in the front of your hymnal. During the procession of light, we will remain seated. The words of the dialogue are found at the very beginning on page 309.
A bluegrass setting of Psalm 36 tonight, and I'll begin by teaching you the words by saying a phrase out loud and having you repeat it after me. It begins, "Your love reaches to heaven.
Your love reaches to heaven.
Your truth beyond our minds.
Your truth beyond our minds.
Your justice like a mountain.
Your justice like a mountain.
Our shadowed valley finds.
Our shadowed valley finds."
And we'll continue by the three of us singing that chorus through, and then having the whole congregation singing that chorus together, followed by verses by us and choruses by all of us. We will cue you for those things.
Conscious of all the ways in which I am a guest in this place. It's my first time at Holden. It's my first weeknight Vespers. I'm Presbyterian. It is a testimony, I think, to the hospitality of this place that you would gather to hear a newcomer, that you would pause with a visitor. And so if the sermon says nothing to you tonight, I pray that the testimony of the hospitality of this place will speak to you and that you will remember it. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we came here tonight for many reasons. Some of us don't know even why we came here, but we come here now trusting that you have a blessing for us. And we pray that you will open us to that blessing, that we might receive it. We pray that you will take the word read, the word proclaimed, the word stirred in our hearts, the word sealed in our lives, the word made flesh as we move out into the world. We pray, O God, that our sharing in this word will be a blessing to us and to all we meet. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The lesson tonight comes from the 47th. Chapter of Ezekiel, and it seems only fair to give you a little quick context for this. I mean, we are 47 chapters into the book, right? A lot has happened. Jerusalem has been destroyed by the Babylonians. The walls are down. The temple is in ruins. It's a dry and dusty place. And Ezekiel, he, with some of his kinfolk, they're now in Babylon. Others are back in Jerusalem. The people are dispersed. They're scattered to Jerusalem, Babylon, and 1,000 places between and beyond. The people are scattered. And then, worst of all, Ezekiel says in chapter 10, he sees a vision in which not just the temple is destroyed, but the glory of the Lord departed from the place. God's own self has left the land. And then in chapter 40, Ezekiel is there, and the glory of the Lord comes to him in Babylon. And the glory of the Lord, Ezekiel says, carries him to a mountaintop. He sees a city in the south, and he is greeted there by a figure who shines like bronze. And this bronze contractor angel has a reed measure in one hand and a long linen rope in another, because the reed and the rope are for measuring. This bronze contractor angel is going to show Ezekiel the architecture of holiness. Say, it's a cubit here, this rebuilt temple. It's 10 cubits here. We're going to put the sacred kitchens over here. The table goes here. And now, chapter 47. Listen with me for what the Spirit says to the church this day. Then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There water was flowing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. And the water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces toward the east. And the water was coming out on the south side. Going on eastward with a cord in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was up to the waist. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross. For the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Mortal, have you seen this?" Then he led me back along the bank of the river. As I came back, I saw on the bank of the river a great many trees on the one side and on the other. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah. And when it enters the sea of stagnant waters, the water will become fresh. Wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be very many fish. Once these waters reach there, it will become fresh. And everything will live where the river goes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I was glad when Chris Charon sent me the text and told me the theme. It's right there behind you, where the river flows, life abounds. I mean, I thought, this sermon is going to write itself, right? This sermon, where the river flows, life abounds, and the river is here. The river is here in Holden. It's here in scavenger hunts. It's here in capture the flag. The river is here in fresh baked bread. The river is here in worship and in Bible study. The river is here in Eucharist. The river is here. And the river, where the river is, life abounds. The glory of this place, though, is that the living water here is not stored in cisterns, right? The living water here is a river. It's a river that flows out to water all the world. And so Railroad Creek, then, in this sermon, it just makes the sermon plain, right? The pure mountain water runs down to the lake, and from the lake it runs to the river, and from the river it runs to the ocean, and then to the skies, where it comes down as rain on the just and the unjust. Thanks be to God. I mean, that'll preach, right? But there's a problem with that sermon. Because it forgets what time it is. It forgets the time of this text.
For Ezekiel has a vision of the water flowing, but when Ezekiel has this vision, make no mistake about it, Jerusalem is dry. The temple is in ruins. And Ezekiel is in Babylon, where the river flows, life abounds. This is the dream of an exile. And as the dream of an exile, it breaks open that ready-made sermon, breaks it open, and I think reveals inside a better gift. It gives us a gift of a way to think theologically about these coming years at Holden, a way to think theologically about what happens when the mind remediation kicks into high gear and invites us to dream the dreams of exiles. Exile is a hard frame. It's a hard frame. It's a bitter frame, but it fits here. Exile fits. Ezekiel, these first 40 chapters describing the situation, it's full of talk of pollution, full of talk of how the holiness of the land has been compromised. The land is polluted, and so it is almost as if the land casts out the people. It's a story about pollution, and Ezekiel helps us analyze the way the powers work and the ways in which we are complicit with those powers. Make no mistake about it, right? I mean, Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians. An alien invading power came in, tore down the walls, destroyed the temple. An alien power did that. But what Ezekiel says again and again is remember. Remember the ways in which we were complicit with these powers. For Israel tried to play the game of global power politics. It cozied up to Egypt, thinking that Egypt would protect it from Babylon, doubled down on Egypt. The bet didn't come through. The Babylonians come to collect the debt, and they collect it with a vengeance. An alien power did this, Ezekiel says, but we've got to own it. By the same token, Holden didn't build that big pile of copper tailings, right? An alien power did this. Call that power what you will. Call it an industrial economy, call it a post-industrial economy, call it the power by which we came here in cars and boats and planes, call it the power in which we trust for our retirement security, call it the power that sustains the healthcare system that we trust for our health and life. Call it that power. And then think of all the ways in which we have put our faith in that power. We didn't build that pile. But there is a real sense in which it is ours. Exile begins with confession. Confession of a complex complicity. And Ezekiel tells about exile in ways that won't let us run past the suffering that it causes. It's easy to say, well, look, there's going to be this little bit of remediation. It's a couple years, but it's all going to be fine. Or it's easy to say, we're going to be back stronger than ever. But Ezekiel says, no, there's going to be real loss here. Exile brings real loss, years that won't be replaced. Narnia will be closed. Says there is time here for lament. The bond between people and land will be rendered asunder. The people will be dispersed to Duluth and Davis, to Seattle, to St. Paul. The people will be dispersed. There is loss in that. There is time for lament, for grieving. Even those who are here, Ezekiel says, even for those in Jerusalem, it's not the same. It's not the same. Exiles sing songs of lamentation, even when they haven't left home. Ezekiel gives us ways to imagine these coming years. And I think even more deeply, Ezekiel tells us about God in these coming years. In chapter 10 of Ezekiel, he says, the glory of the Lord left that place. The glory of the Lord left the temple. But then here, later in chapter 40, and then rolling more and more throughout the 40s here, the glory of the Lord is all around Ezekiel. It's worth stopping to think on that, right? It says that the temple was destroyed, but God was not destroyed. It says that the bond between people and land was broken, but the bond between people and God was not broken because God chose that it would not be broken. And God pursued the people even into exile. The glory of the Lord came to Ezekiel even in Babylon. Where the river flows, then life abounds. This is true. Wherever the people go, the glory of the Lord comes after us, comes with us. And where the river flows, life abounds. This is true. And it is true even when the river flows, only in the fever dreams of exiles. Thanks be to God for such faithfulness, for such persistence. Thanks be to God for a river of life that flows in the dreams of exiles. Amen.
Thank you.
Your sung prayer response is found on the half sheet, where the river flows, life abounds. We will sing it once through, and then after each petition. For the flourishing and health of all creation, we pray. For peace between nations and an end to all war. We pray. For the sick, suffering, and imprisoned. We pray. For rivers of mercy to flow to every place of need. We pray. Save, comfort, and defend us, gracious God. Amen.
Amen.
Gathered in the Spirit, we are bold to pray in the words Jesus has given us.
Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
With good courage to serve the living God.
Thanks be to God.